אתם עם SBS בעברית. And now to a story about a woman by the name of Giada Condello, originally from Italy. She's not Jewish, but she fell in love in Israel when she first arrived there in 2013. Today, still living in Israel, she's happily married to an Israeli and they have two kids. While understanding the Israeli culture and way of life, and specifically after October the 7th, she decided to publish an article on how she tries to fight for Israel, but no one will let her. To hear the full story, I'm now joined by Giada Condello. Shalom, Giada.
Shalom, hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. It's quite an interesting story on how you arrived to Israel. Could you tell us a little bit about how it all began?
Sure, so I've been living in Israel for 9 years. And I was born and raised in Italy, as I said in the article. I'm also not Jewish. You know, I come from a town, a very small town in the mountains where everything is clean and everything works. And then everybody's asking me, why did you come to Israel? Well, that's a long story, but let's say that I never liked the quiet of the nature and the mountains, something that I'm actually appreciating now. And I decided to, you know, the first time I had a chance to jump into a train and join the city, I've done that. So after high school, I moved to Bologna to study for my bachelor's degree in international cooperation. Mm-hmm. During my master, I decided that I wanted to do an internship abroad, and I didn't have like a clear location in mind, you know. So coming to Israel, it happened to me completely by chance. It was just for the internship, and everything was new for me. It was a refreshing experience. I don't know, I was not connected to Israel in any way, and I really, really enjoyed the time in Tel Aviv, obviously, you know, coming from the mountains where it's always cold and raining to the sunny Tel Aviv. Obviously, it was fun. The thing that actually fascinated me the most, it was how everything works fast here. And it's different. It's just different. I was not connected with the culture. I didn't know anything about the Israeli culture. It just wasn't. My think, I guess, I don't know, and the language or the religion, and it was a great new experience for me, and I really felt connected. I really, really enjoyed the time here. And when I went back to finish my master, then I decided, okay, I finished my master, what I'm going to do with my life now. So I find myself thinking, okay, I can stay in Italy and maybe I will end up jobless or probably find a job that will pay really little. Or I can take a chance and try something different and try something new. So I took my luggage and I came back to Israel in 2015. This is how it all started. You know, I wanted to find a job here. I wanted to find work. When you don't have a working visa, it's not easy because you want to have a working visa in order to work legally in a country. So after a while, I understood that going in and out from Strada Prim, this was not happening. And I almost gave up. And 2 weeks before, I met the one that is now my husband and father of my kids. So I stayed.
Let's talk about your article. It is called, I Want to Fight for Israel. Why Won't Anyone Let Me? You have written that most people in Italy and maybe also all around the world do not really have a clue about what is happening in Israel, Gaza, and in the northern part. Could you explain?
Yes, I brought that there is a lot of misinformation regarding what's going on here. And the problem is that when you don't live in a specific city or a country, you need to rely to information that are given to you, right? And most of this information, you will get it in a passive way. So you will watch a video, you will hear a podcast. So people in Italy obviously tend to form an idea based on information that they receive. And this information is filled mainly with propaganda, I think. And there is a little bit of space also for the other side, which is the Israeli. And most of the time, based on facts and not propaganda. And this is difficult also to convey. So there is a lot of misinformation regarding the war in Gaza and also in the north.
Do you think that most Israelis actually understand how much they are misunderstood around the world?
I think they do. They do. Since it didn't start now. I always had this conversation with my friends, and you don't have to talk to Israeli to understand how much they are misunderstood abroad. You just need to talk with someone that is not Israeli about Israel, and then you understand how much misinformation there is about this country and the things that they are doing. And also, you know, the thing that struck me the most is that they always talk about this IDF like it's some sort of disattached entity, not connected to the country, and then everyone around you is part of the IDF, and you say, okay, but these are good people. They are not doing what you're just saying. It's difficult to explain, I think, to somebody that either never traveled to Israel or never spent a long period of time in Israel to understand the dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Look, everybody in Israel complains about the Hasbara, but nobody seems to do anything about it. Maybe they do, but not enough. We are eager to hear what would you do to render the Israeli Hasbara more effective.
Well, first, I don't think that there is not enough that has been done. I think there is too much that has been done, but it hasn't been done in a very organized way. This was my complaint, mainly complaining in the article. So, first of all, I think that, well, let's say that this is the thing that I've been exposed to the most during my research or trying to do some sort of Hasbara for Israel, is the lack of funding. It seems that there is no funding for it, and this is the main issue. A few days ago, the Foreign and Diaspora Affairs Minister joined forces to create a task force to fight the legitimization and anti-Semitism abroad. And the budget that they came up with is 20 to 50 million shekels.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, but at the end, this is an industry. Like, you need to imagine it as a company, and $5 to $14 million is, if you have a big team, it's nothing. You don't have enough money, and this is after it has been funded. So I think that first of all, you need to have funding, like in every company. And it has to be addressed as a real issue, like a real war on the internet, on the news, on the media, everywhere. And it has to be treated also as a job for your team. You need to have funding. You need to pay people. You need to have the best people. So you need to, I will probably publish position for social media experts, political analyst experts, public spokesmen. And you can do that in different languages. So you will have English, and we have Elon Levy that is doing an amazing job, obviously. But we need also other languages, because in Italy, for example, nobody speaks English, but they would rather listen to news in Italian, obviously.
And we're speaking to Giada Condello, originally from Italy, but now living in Israel since 2013. Giada published an article in one of Israel's newspapers where she says she wants to fight for Israel, but why nobody will let her. Going back to your article, what is the message that you wanted to deliver in your article, aside of the title, which is pretty simple to understand, but what else would you expect from people to do? Did you receive any comments, any advice?
Yeah, I think that the most the core of the article is the part in which I'm saying that everyone wants to help, but nobody knows how. And I think this is the main point that brought me to write this article, because I want to help with fighting this propaganda, but I didn't know how to do that. So I tried to contact several organizations and journalists, and posting on Instagram. I even started a new page, but you know, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because we are one drop into the ocean, and this doesn't work. You need to have something that is much more organized. You need to have a strategy, and you need to get to people that want to help. You need to let people help Israel. And this is the main problem here. I am part of the Instagram groups and WhatsApp groups, as I said in the article. And these people are amazing. They are doing so much. They are posting. They are on top of things. They are writing letters. They are trying to build a community to spread facts and information and the truth. But it's always through social media. And if you don't have a big audience, nobody will read your post, and it will keep being only just a small drop. Mm-hmm. I want to have something that is more organized. This is my call for help. I want to, I don't know if it's a team, if it's a private company, it's a public effort, something that is more organized, that brings people together, that gives them the tools to act and to be able to fight efficiently. I hope that I am clear in what I am saying.
Look, you have been living in Israel for more than 10 years now, and you probably know better than others on what's going on there. But you're looking for solutions. So what do you think is the solution for this? How do we solve it? How do you convince people?
The problem is, we don't have people that are doing this in Italy, for example, or I don't know them. And if I don't know them, it's already a problem, because they should be well known. So we are missing this, as I said before, maybe it's the public spokesman, or maybe let's call it in another way, but you need people in each country that go on TV and or in the podcast and the radio, and they're explaining what is the situation. When you are exposed just to one side of the story, it's easy to get misled. This is the issue. This is how I believe this problem should be addressed. We should have, you need to also have the human connection, because when you have a person that you trust explaining you that what you are seeing right now, it's wrong and it's not true, you will tend to believe this person. And you need to have this human connection on TV, for example, for also our side. And currently, unless there are very, very capable journalists doing that, we don't have this type of personalities. I want to have the Italian Ilon Levy and Noah Tishby, and not only in Italy. And not only in Italy, we need to have them in France, in Spain, everywhere.
So you're saying that we need to have enough people to go out there to all these countries and speak their language to explain them what's happening in Israel?
Yes, of course.
Okay, to finish off, I have to tell you that Israelis just love to visit Italy, and they love the Italian food, the culture, the music, and much more. And now, after living in Israel for quite a while, you probably know the country very well. Could you maybe tell us more about the differences between Israel and Italy?
Well, I think that what I get the most is that Israeli tell me that I like Israel because Israel and Italy are the same, which, you know, I agree in some aspects. And I don't agree in others, obviously, but probably the temper, we are very warm people, even in the north. I know that they say that we are cold people, but it's not true. And so I think that, you know, it's the fact that we have this concept of being united, and the family is very important, and we like to spend time together with friends. I think that the family thing is very common between the two culture, spending time together and eating together. Also the food. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I don't think that people understand how much Israelis are into food. Like, well, we are for sure into food more than you guys, but also Israelis are foodies. So I think this is also common between the two countries.
Okay, Giada Condello, originally from Italy, now living in Israel since 2013, married with two kids. I appreciate your time speaking to us today. Wishing you good luck. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.